Parshas Yisro. We're in the middle of a number of weeks with these parshios are referred to as the parshios of Shovavim, Shmos, Ve'era, Bo, Bishalach, Yisro, and Mishpatim deal with the Geulas Yisrael, but we understand this as we read this week after week during this time of year. It's also speaking the Geulas Nefesh of Ladoros of every single generation, every year and every time, for us to change, to better ourselves, to move further in our Avodas Hashem. So Parshas Yisro begins with Vayishma Yisro Kohen Midyan Chose Moshe as Kol Asher Asar Lukim LeMoshe LeYisrael, Imo Ki Hotzi Hashem Es Yisrael MiMitzrayim. The Parsha says very simply that Yisrael, the Kohen of Midian, the father-in-law of Moshe, he heard exactly everything that God did to Moshe, to Yisrael, Yisrael, his nation, as he brought him out of Mitzrayim. The famous Rashi, Perush Rashi, Mashmua Shoma, what did he hear? What did he hear? Uba, the Chassidus Shatoras will see, is what caused him to come, Kriyas Yamsuf, Milchamas Amalek. Both the stories of Kriyas Yamsuf and the wars of Amalek, Benodata, Kushi, Besifrik, we understand the Eisha Kodesh says, and it's quoted by many, many different Mepharshim asking the same question. The question which he speaks in the name of his father, Uvashar Svarim Kedoshim, Masha o Rashi, Mashmua Shama Uba. What caused Rashi to say this? After all, the Pasuk's Mefarish, Ki Hotzi Hashem Es Yisrael MiMitzrayim. We know what he heard. V'lama Meshav Rashi Kriyas Yamsuf V'Milchamas Amalek. V'lo Kemosh Mefarish B'Pasuk Ki Hotzi Hashem Es Yisrael MiMitzrayim. Why does Rashi come up with this unique understanding when it comes to Pasha's Shmos, I'm sorry, it comes to the Milchamas Amalek and also Kriyas Yamsuf. So before we begin, that's just as an introduction, an idea which I had many years ago, which I think is what the Mefarshim are really saying in a much more deeper and profound message. Vayishma Yisro. Question which you have to ask, he heard about everything else. He heard about the Asara Makas, that wasn't something to be mispalam, but to say, oh my God, I can't believe this is what occurred. That enough should be reason for you to come to see Klal Yisrael to convert. What exactly was it so unique about the Amalek, Milchemes Amalek and Kriyas Yamsuf? So part of the answer, I believe, is Vayishma Yisrael says, who are these people? Who is Klal Yisrael? How great is Klal Yisrael? Here is a people who were enslaved for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. They finally come out of Mitzrayim. There's a Geula. 7 days they have the courage to jump into a sea and to have a Munah Bashem. And to take lives, to take their lives into their own hands. Soon after that, they were able to be fighting Amalek. Amalek is just a nation that wants to destroy them. And yet they were able to stand up as a group of slaves and to grow so quickly. Vayishma Yisrael. What a pelotic understanding. He said, who are these people? It's not simply that there's a Torah Hashem. It's not simply about the greatness of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. He heard about the greatness of Klal Yisrael. And that is an idea I wanted to speak about a little bit today when in Parshas Yisro. Because Parshas Yisro was now in the middle of speaking also about the greatness of Klal Yisrael. What did he see? What is Rashi trying to explain in his deeper understanding? Mashmua Shama Uba Kriyas Yamsuf of Milchemes Amalek. So first we're going to understand something beautiful by the Eish Kodesh. And this particular writing of the Eish Kodesh is introduced in the top ledger, that when he came up with this parsha, maybe he gave the shiur during that day, or maybe he was alone, that he was in hiding. This is talking about January of 1940. He was in hiding from the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. And in this environment is the Torah which he's thinking about. Aval Kabbalah Satorah B'midbar Hoysa. What is it? Where were they in Makabal Torah? They were in Makabal Torah in Har Sinai. The Efshel Rameis Gam Lahoshi Isa B'Sefer HaKadosh Beis Aharon Adivrei Rashi. Shema Yisrael Hashem Lekeinu Hashem Echad. V'yohavtes Hashem Lekecha B'chol Levavecha B'chol Nafshecha B'chol Modecha. Shelo Yelibcha Choluk Al Hamakom. So the Beis Aharon, what it says, what does it mean? Shelo Yelibcha, your heart should not be choluk, should not be broken, should not be separated, Al Hamakom. What does that mean? V'omer B'kodesho HaBeis Aharon. So Rashi has said this, and the Beis Aharon says as follows. Shelo tomar b'makom hazeh efshel levodes Hashem. U'b'makom hazeh I efsheli. One should never say, in this place I can be Oved Hashem. In this place I can be Frum. In this place I can be Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. In this place I can daven. U'b'makom hazeh I efsheli. But in this place I can't. Rak b'chol makom tzrichim la'avodus Hashem. We always have to be Oved Hashem. Think about it, this pshat which he's quoting from the Beis Aharon. He's hiding the Shabbos. He's not out and about. He's fearful for his life. And he's quoting the Beis Aharon to say, every moment of my life, this is what gives me purpose. I'm not just being able to be Shomer Torah Mitzvahs when it's easy. But even at this moment, I'm willing to give up my entire life for this. Because this is who I am. Lochein ilu kiblu Yisrael satorah ba'aretzim be'eretz Yisrael. Had they waited until they got into Eretz Yisrael? Hayuchoshim sharak b'mokomam u'bevoteihem efshel elhem l'kayim osa. They would have thought only in this place, only in Eretz Yisrael. Only here. B'lo kashem b'gola u'muturadim. And not when they were in Gullus. The great reform movement, which started after the emancipation. What was the idea behind it? It was Dafka, the opposite of this idea of the Beis Aharon. Now that we're inside, well, it's one thing when we were in the ghetto, but what we're now is outside the ghetto. We have to be in a place that we have to be just like assimilate with the rest of the world. That was the chisaron. That's what was missing in the reform movement. The idea behind the reform movement to bring Jews out into the world in order to understand how to live in the world now at large was an idea which was important. But the idea was corrupted because they wanted to assimilate, to dilute. To say to be a Jew, b'makom zeh, was one type of Jew, but now we have to be a different type of Jew. A Jew where there wouldn't have been as great as adherence, a change in the attitude. Locheinos and Hashem lemahatorah b'midbar, b'derech, b'tiltzo sheyedu shebechol makom tzrichim l'kaima. Know that in every place, k'nemar le'el shelo yilubcho choluk ala makom, that's what it means, ala makom, to be chaluk, to have two ideas of the makom lochein, efshe Rashi. That's what Rashi meant to say. Sho'el kazos al Yisro, ma shemua shama. But what was it that caused him to leave? Meaning, lama hutzrich lava. Why did he have to come? Why did he have to come to Moshe Rabbeinu? Hayachol l'shevus beveisav l'shloch l'Moshe Rabbeinu, sheshlach lo eize ish mi Yisro sheyigar b'yam to Torah. All he had to do was call up Moshe Rabbeinu and say, could you please send the teacher over to me to be Megayer me? I want to be Megayer already. I want to convert. I've heard about everything that happened to Klal Yisrael. I heard whatever God did for you, the Makos. I heard about this great Geula. Obviously, this is a Torah I want to follow. But he had to also want to follow Moshe Rabbeinu. What does he see? There's something unique that I want to come to you. Shehushav lebeis olegayer b'nei mishpachto. V'alzeh metaris kriyas yamsuf v'milchomas amalek. Ki amalek rotzol lekardem. What did amalek want to do? They wanted to attack them. They felt like this. How could it be? You're on the derech. In every place you're going to be a shomer Torah mitzvah. Ve'ech zeh ola bedato. Sheyuchal zos. Acha kriyas yamsuf sherosol shivcha mashalo ro yicheskel v'yishaya. How's it possible? You see the status where they are, that a shivcha on the Yamsa was able to see the godless of Hashem, that the Nevi'im of Yechezkel and Yeshayahu weren't able to see. Aval Amalek Chashav Kivan Shehem Bederach. Since the Bederach, they're out of their sorts. They're out of the base Knesses, they're out of their shuls, they're out of the Batei Midrashim. Out of the little shtela, chas v'chalila yuchal lehem, af shekvar hayib b'madrega gedola kuzu, impossible that the Jew can live in the world and still retain his devotion to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. B'zeh asher karcha b'derosh al zeh samach. It's easy to be frum on Shabbos when you're in your house. It's easy to be frum when you're not worried about making a living. How are you when you're going into the outside world? How do you act? Couldn't believe the Amalek was, couldn't believe that Klal Yisrael could possibly still remain on that level. As they go into the Midbar, as they go into a world that is separate, is distinct, that is without Mayim, that is without water. This must be a world where we're able to change them and to attack them. It's not enough. I can't just sit in my house. I have to do the same thing. I have to show this Mesiras Nefesh. You know, it's an interesting, I remember many years ago. Is there an idea of Yigiyah Satorah? You just sit back. Many years ago, I used to have a chavrusa early in the mornings. And I had a little TV stand. And what we did was I took all the Sfarim, we were learning Masechta, whatever it was, all the different Rishonim and Achronim, and I put all the Sfarim on the TV stand right next to where we were learning. This way it'd be easier. Whatever we needed, we would take out the Sefer and look at it, etc. One day I read a story about the Truma Sadeshin. Truma Sadeshin was very poor, but he was learning in the yeshiva. And he saw that the very wealthy Talmidim, they had a table, a round table that was able to move. So the Sefer was on the other side of the table. They simply moved the table and the Sefer came to them rather than getting up to go to the table, get the Sefer. And the Truma Sadeshin thought to himself, that's incorrect. It's not Yigiyah Satorah. You should get up and go get the Sefer. That itself is part of the Mesiras Nefesh, something. So remember, we put away all the Sfarim back into the bookshelves, and we would go get the Sfarim each time, and I took away the TV stand. Just this idea, b'derech. L'chein omer Yisro imkein lo dai l'kabel satara b'vesi b'vad, ele muchroch ani l'lecha shamo l'kabel b'derech. It's not enough for me to be mekabel in my house. I have to go there. Oz ucha l'hiyos Yehudi gam b'vesi. Then I can be a true Jew even in my house. Hainu shayidei sheshama sheacha kriyas yamsuf. Hoysam lechemes amalek shechashav shebederach yuchal lehem. Hushrucham yisro levo lederach ulemidbar lesgayer. The Yesh Kodesh is trying to explain, and during these weeks of the Parshiyos, to understand that a true Geulas HaNefesh also has to be an understanding by ourselves. That Kabbalas HaTorah, to be an Oved Hashem, to be an Oev Hashem, to be a Shomer Torah Mitzvah is not something which we do by Akroi. It's not something we do when it's convenient. It's something which is, defines who we are. And that was the true message of the Yesh Kodesh. In the most difficult of times, in the darkest of times, on a Shabbos when he's alone, a Shabbos when he's running away from the Nazis, he's in hiding. That's when he comes up with this parsha, with the beautiful understanding of the Beis Aaron. Vayishma Yisro. What did Yisro hear? Yisro heard the godless of Yisrael. He heard the godless of a people to understand that true Torah, to be true Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, is not something which is to be done only at times, but is what who defines you at every moment of your life, in every aspect of your life. Whether it be in business, whether it be in the shul. Remember once I heard a pshat from, I may have said this before, it was one of the few times I went over to Rabbi Kellermer, Zichron Asadim Kadosh Avrachi, he had given a sermon, a beautiful sermon, and obviously there was a reason behind it. Because he was speaking about Balabatim, who bring their business ideas, their divrei chol into the shul. Shal Nalecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu to take off your shoes, because this is a makam kadosh where you're standing. Atmas kadosh hen. When Moshe Rabbeinu, when Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu to do that, he was explaining that right now when you come into a shul, this is how Rabbi Kellermer was explaining, you have to have a different personality than what you had outside of the shul. And it's true. It's a makam kadosh. But I had gone over to Rabbi Kellermer and I said, I somewhat disagree with what you're saying. It's pumfraket. As a lawyer, as a, someone who lives, who is not zoche to always be in a shul of working in Klei Kodesh, Yomim V'loila. Someone who has to, go out into the world to make a living. I always like to refer to the world of law as the Olam HaSheker. The idea is that we can't make that distinction. What we bring into the shul has to be a result of what we brought out from the shul. But we brought out from the Beis HaKnesses. There can't be a chiluk amakam. There can't be a separation of how I act inside the shul and how I act outside the shul. There can't be a position if we're in the shul, I know I can't use nivul peh, I can't speak in a certain way. And then all of a sudden when I get into business, there are times I hear some of my clients, from clients, Hasidisha clients, Misnagisha clients, different clients who are really mamish, shomer Torah mitzvahs. And all of a sudden they speak in a certain language that I can't recognize. On the other hand, I really have this chus sometimes to be misspelled from some of my clients. Few in particular, few wonderful, wonderful Hasidisha, Erlicha, Yidden. You know, I work in the world of real estate and sometimes people are just losing their pants, they're losing money. And to hear a client to say, no, Be'ezus Hashem Yisparach, Mirza Hashem, whatever Kaddish Baruch Hu wants, that's what's going to be. That's the pshat of the Yesh Kodesh. It's who you are defines, and that's the way you're supposed to act in every moment of your life. The Avodah Zavodah takes a little bit of a different, but also speaks directly to these parshiyos. And he begins with the same question, which all the Mefarshim are asking, why Dafka, when it comes to speaking of these two ideas of Amalek and of Kriyas Yamsuf. And it begins by discussing, first of all, he has a question of why does Yisro have seven names? Masha Hebi Rashi HaKadosh B'Divri HaMedra Shevashim Shemos Nikru Lo Re'uel Yeso Yisro Chove Chove Kine. Why do all the Potia? Why so many names? Why should he have so many different names? Remember, this happened to be the Sheva Brachas of my Sheva Brachas. My Sheva Brachas many years ago. And they asked me to speak, and I remember telling over this Medrash, and I said, you know, seven names is because, you know, he had seven daughters, and each time he declared bankruptcy. He had to change his personality. I don't know if it went over with my grandmother, with my father-in-law. Uchadei levar kozeh nakta mada yedua tam lama huchuk b'nei Yisrael lahamten sheva shavuos. So it begins, why did it have to take 7 weeks? Why did it have to take 7 weeks? Ad shehigiyu lekabel haTorah al Har Sinai, until they received the Torah in Har Sinai. Halo tachlis yitzias Mitzrayim so shebnei Yisro yikablu haTorah hakadosh b'mavet hanivchar. That was the whole purpose. So why didn't it happen immediately? All right, maybe it had to be after Kriyat Yam, so they first had to get rid of the evil behind them in order to make sure they were free. But immediately, why did they have to wait 7 weeks? And he continues and explains the difference, the Nishmas of Lakus, the Nishmas Behemus, the right and the left, the Moach over the Lave, and the 7 weeks because of the seven different Madregos, the seven idea of the Midos, the Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchus. And Klal Yisrael was each of these Midos who were on the lowest level of each of these Midos. This theme of Klal Yisrael being on the Mem test, on the 49th level of Tuma, plays over and over and over during these Parshas of the Shov Sheshuvim. Why is the Shov Sheshuvim? Why is it so important? Because Klal Yisrael has understood from whence they've come and from where and to where they were able to gather. How they were able to become so great. And the 7 weeks which was necessary is that each day of the week, one of these midos was the concentration that was changed. And each week after week, seven times seven, they became greater and greater and greater. And therefore the Avodas Avoda says, Vayishma Yisrael, what he saw were these aspects, the fact that they were changing themselves. They were perfecting themselves in order to be able to be Kabbalah Satorah. And that's the deeper pshat. Of what was it that he heard? Oh, he looked at himself. Who was Yisrael? Yisrael was an individual who was Ovid Avodah Zarah. They say he went through Avodah Zarah after Avodah Zarah. He went around the world to figure out where, you know, he was obviously in search of greater meaning in his life. And now he came to the realization, he saw these people. Here is the people in the 49th level of Tumah had changed. So too I can. So too I can. And that is the message which all of us have to take to ourselves. So often people get, you know, complicit in life. This is the way life is. This is the way I am. This is the way I was. This is the way I will be. And by Yishma Yisro, interesting. In the middle of the Parshias, all of these Parshias, Shovivim, dealing with the Gulas HaNefesh, we mention Yisro HaKohen, the Ovid Avodah Zarah, the non-Jew at this point. Why is he so zocha to have a Parsha named after him? Because it teaches you a Musar. Such a beautiful, important Musar. If Yisro, a person of his status who was a Kohen, who was a priest in so many different areas of Avodah Zarah, was able to change around his life, so too can we. So too can every individual, no matter where he was, no matter what he is, no matter what level he is. Vayishma Yisrael, he looked at Klal Yisrael in the 49th level of Tuma, who were able to grow, to be able to be mekabel the Torah. Kavachomer I can. Kavachomer, every individual can make these distinctions, can make these changes. There's another theme, and perhaps it is similar theme of this idea. Rav Soloveitchik concentrates on the meeting between Moshe and Yisro. Vayar achas Moshe, as kol asher hu asa la'am, everything he was doing to the nation. V'yomer, ma dava hazeh asher ata ose la'am, what are you doing to this nation? Madu ata yoshev levadcha v'chol amnitzev alecha min haboker ad erev. Why? You're sitting alone. Why is everyone standing on top of you from morning to night? So Rav picks up on the language, what are you doing to the people? What does this mean? Usually when you're doing something to someone, it could either be Tov or it could be Lara. from the language that Moshe had mesmerizing influence over the people. He had a mysterious quality that fascinated them so that they enjoyed being in his presence and did not leave him alone. The Rebbe is going to talk about the midos, some of the midos that Moshe had as a teacher, as a Rebbe, as a manhig, as a leader. So I mention that here because part of being able to change oneself is also the belief in the Masorah, the belief in the Rebbe, the belief of the need to have a Rebbe to transform, to bring the Masorah from one generation to the other. And therefore, I think that's why this is also brought in this parsha of Yisro. He comes because he realizes he wants to change. He wants to convert. He wants to emulate Klal Yisrael. But when he gets there, he also is introduced to another idea. The idea of the Masorah. The idea of the Rebbe. The idea of the teacher. Yisro replied, realized that Moshe was the central cohesive force. Elsewhere, Moshe delayed in his return from Har Sinai. We also see his influence. That delay caused one of the greatest tragedies in our history, the sin of the golden calf. Yisro was not trying to reproach Moshe. He wanted to understand what was so unique about Moshe's popularity and influence. So the first, he brings a number of ideas. He said Moshe was a posek. Moshe describes in effect, he said, my job is to render halachic decisions. Interesting, this little brief idea, this sermon or this shia that the Rav gave, really is something which to look at is that what do you look for in a Rav? What do you look for in a rabbi of a shul? So first of all, he has to be a posek. So paskin and shilas, as the Rav said. Moshe decided matters such as inheritance of Lachwa's daughters. How would you be ritually impure during Pesach? When do you bring it? Rabbis ask endless questions about every conceivable aspect of life. And in our electronic age, the questions have become even more complex. There's no area item that falls outside the halachic purview. Therefore, the rabbi must be a scientist, an engineer, philosopher, physician, not in the true sense, but he has the knowledge of it. Judaism places great importance on specifics. If we stand at a distance from a painting, we see the general outline. If Shabbos observance is merely occultic in nature, we would be intentional whenever we wished, not conforming to any schedule, etc., etc. Details are trivial to the overall concepts of Shabbos, but we know that the essence of Shabbos observance is in the details. What qualities does one need to teach others? Here, the first quality in order to be a leader, in order to be Rebbe, in order to be the Baal Moser, is to be an anuv, humility. Often when many people ask for information from a particular person, this person may begin to feel pride and a sense of superiority. But I think also, what as you listen to the ideas of the Rav, they're talking about the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's also a musa for ourselves. How do we become part of that Masorah? How do we change? How do we accept the Torah Hashem? If the teacher has to be humble, so does the student. People from all walks of life, rich and poor alike, approached Moshe with their questions, and Moshe treated them equally. A great person treats one who asks an absurd question with the same respect that one asks an important question. And he brings him a beautiful story which is brought down in the Gemara. The Romans were taking Rabbi Yishmael, the Kohen Gadol, taking him to his execution, and he started to cry. Rabbi Gamliel asked him, why are you crying? What are you? Are you afraid of death? I always love these questions. He's human. He's human. Of course he was crying, isn't he? Scared. How can someone not be scared? Even you know, here is great stories. Yochanan ben Zakkai, in his deathbed. Also, they asked him, why are you afraid? What are you crying about? He said, because I was worried, because even Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was worried about his decision. Tein le Yavna. Soloveitchik often spoke about this. He spoke of himself about it. Always questioned his own ideas. Were they right? And as he came closer to death, I remember Rabbi Lam telling me, the Rebbe was very much afraid of Din V'Cheshbon. He thought he made the right decisions, but he always questioned his decisions. That's a question, that's humility. That's what we all need to have in our approach to Mesorah. No matter how much we've learned, no matter how much in many years we've been Shomer Torah and Mitzvahs, we always have to have the question in our lives is, am I leading the proper life? There's so many hashkafas out there that are different than mine. Am I so sure that my hashkafa is correct and the other hashkafa is not correct? So Rabbi Yishmael says, I weep not because I'm about to suffer martyrdom, but because of being taken to the executioner, common robbers and murderers. What did I do to deserve this manner of death? And Rabbi Gamliel answered, unbelievable Musser. It's hard to understand, but on their level, but it's something we should all understand. If what we do, a poor person comes to our door and is asking for money, you know, how do we approach that? Listen to this. Don't you remember that once in your career you arrived home exhausted and lay down to rest? While you were resting, a poor woman came to your house to ask a question. Your servant asked her to wait until you woke. She waited, but for an instant, just for an instant, she thought to herself, a fleeting thought of undoubtedly passed through her mind. Had I been a rich neighbor, he would have answered me right away. What a Musar Haskil. We don't think about the poor person so often who comes to speak, who asks Shaila. Or times when they come to a yeshiva and they're asking for a scholarship, the busha that the person has in asking, and the way we treat them sometimes. A tear dropped onto her cheek, but she took off these thoughts at once. She said right away, no. But for a second, fleeting second, she had a question. Rabbi Gamliel continued, the Torah warns, do not afflict a widow or an orphan. If you do, Kadosh Baruch Hu will punish you with the sword. It does not matter how you afflict them. It is for this reason that you were condemned to death. And unbelievable. Just for that 1 second. It's hard for us to understand, but it's a musa to understand, to accept what we have to do to, in our own humility, how to treat others. Humility is the ability to step back and view events with detachment. Moshe had this ability. Because of it, he judged the cases of the daughters of Tzlafchat and of people who were ritually impure. The Rav related a beautiful story about his grandfather. His mother had told him the story, the Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Once he was in an important meeting with distinguished people, a distraught woman burst into a room shouting, help me, I had a strange dream that my son was insane. And the Rav added to that, and it was true, her son was insane. Rav Chaim arose, excused himself, proceeded to go to an adjoining room with the woman and listen to her. Then he returned to the conference. We must learn to emulate the patience of God, the Arichas Apayim. When we feel that people are wasting our time with foolish questions, we have lost the capacity to judge. I always remember, you know, people, I give shir in Young Israel. And then people, you know, we joke, and I, you know, when people ask a certain question, you know, I remember reminded, used to learn with Rabbi Baumel, who was the uncle of Rabbi Lam. He was one of the founders, or the founder of Yeshiva of Eastern Parkway. I remember he would ask me certain things, and we would talk in Torah, and then he would look at me and say, Dementos? Dementos? I mean, you mean this? I mean, you're ridiculous. What kind of an answer is that? Rabbi Kelmer, and I somewhat took on this personality in my Igiv Shir, making fun of people, all in good jest, in order to have Torah should be learned by Simcha. should be simcha. It's not a burden whatsoever. It's not an ol. It's mamish besimcha. It's one of the few mitzvahs that you can say, Nana, you're allowed to have hana. You should have hana from learning Torah. Rav Chanan Wasserman and many others have said. But Rabbi Kelmer was known when he would give people, would ask questions. And you could hear even some of the questions, you could hear people in the audience almost gasping, saying, I can't believe someone asked such a question. The ridiculousness of a question. And Rabbi Kelmer would always, oh, what you meant to say. Or somehow he would make the person feel like they just asked a bomb kasha from a Rav Kiva Eger. That was a sign of humility, of humbleness. To be a person amongst the people. Spoke to one of his daughters this week. And she said something to me which I always knew. But it's sometimes when you hear from the family, you also hear something that's more deeper, it's a deeper understanding of who he was. And she said, you know, my father never thought of himself different than any of the Balabatim. He was one of the Balabatim. He just had a job as the rabbi of the shul, per se. I'm saying it differently the way she said it. But he didn't think of himself any better than anyone else. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. That is a teacher. That is a rav. And that's who we should be in the Kabbalahs of Musar. The second idea he writes about the heroism of a judge. Sometimes you have to give psak. Psak has to be emes. Yes. When I say that there's emes, obviously there are certain madregas. There's a story of Mar Ukva and his son. Whether how many hours should you wait? 24 hours. His father waited 24 hours between basa b'chala. He says, I'm not like that. I can't live like that. And the Sifrei Musar asks, this was the medical of your father. Why couldn't you do it? You have to know the level that you're on. You can't just take a certain chumrah upon yourself. If you're not on that level, you have to work up to a certain madrega. That is true. So when a rav has to paskin, he paskins differently for each individual. He has to understand by Asher Husham where he is, but he also has to be emistic. And there is a story which is quoted in the Sefer by Rav Avishai David, but I heard this directly from the daughter of the rav. It says a little bit differently, a little bit more beautiful, to be honest. Story of a woman who wanted to come see the rav and approached the daughter. Can you get me in to see your father? I have a shayla. Of course, she arranges it. And the shayla is, it goes to the rav. She is a giyaris, very frum. But she finds a boy who wasn't frum. And before the marriage, the father had said, you should. It's interesting family dynamic here. You should go to your grandfather's kever. You should place an invitation by the kever to invite your grandfather to come to the wedding. He goes to the kever, and of course he sees, when he finds the kever, he says, there the yadayim, they're on it. You have the emblem of the kohen. Didn't know. He comes home, he finds out. Yes, grandpa was a kohen. I'm a kohen. And guess what? You're a kohen. But the kohen is going to marry Giyoris, his usher. And therefore she goes to ask the rav, and the rav, almost in tears from what I understand, tells her, you can't. You can't. The next day, he doesn't tell his daughter what the shayla was. She doesn't ask. Recognizes the privacy. Next day, the daughter comes over to the rav. As she put it, she says, I didn't call my father the rav. Comes over to her father. And her father says, she says, you know, the daughter, this woman had to come over to her and thanked her again for allowing her to speak to the rav. She's so happy, etc., etc. And the rav is shaking his head, and he's shaking his head, and he's shaking his head. And the daughter turns and says, "Daddy, what are you so, why are you upset? Why are you shaking hands? She's so happy she met you." So the Rav said, "The Shaila she asked me, I had to say no. I broke her heart. I broke her heart." Sometimes halacha can be cruel. That's his words, not mine. Sometimes halacha can be cruel. But that's the halacha. On this aspect, the Rav says, the posek, a teacher, a Baal Masorah, has to give over the Masorah that is not the way you want it to be, not the way you wished it to be. So many people, so many Rabbanim today, so many people in certain movements, even within Orthodoxy, think that the idea of to be a Baal Masorah means to be the owner of the Masorah, to change it, to alter it. Baal Masorah means it's that which infuses you as an emissary of the Masorah. And the Rav felt at this moment as he gave over the psak, he says, sometimes halacha can be cruel. But the beauty of the story is the simcha that this woman accepted, the Masorah, because this is the will of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is the das. This is what is important. And that is another thing, in order to, in these weeks, in order to accept, to be, to have a ge'ulas ha'nefesh, to have a ge'ulas ha'nefesh, one has to accept Torah b'simcha, and to accept it as whole, even at times when it's so difficult to accept it. The third category, and it goes on, but one more idea, which I think is beautiful to take home, is that a different pshat of what was Moshe doing over there from the morning to night. The Rambam highlights the fact that Moshe's leadership by interpreting the above-mentioned verses differently. He suggests, this is the Ramban, that the phrase, when the people come to me and inquire about God, refers to the custom of Bikur Cholam. It wasn't an idea of Psak. It was the Rebbe who was empathetic for the needs of the individual. According to the Ramban, the people came to Moshe to ask him to daven to the Kadosh Baruch Hu on their behalf. Moshe devoted much of his day praying for the sick. The Hasidic movements devoted much of its time and effort to prayer for the sick and providing sustenance for the poor. In order to pray for the sick, one must do three things. He must visit in person and provide him with whatever assistance he can. And he must shore up his spirits by telling him, "You must get well because we need you and depend upon you." The first idea, go there, visit him. It's not enough to make a call. It's not a different to just say a Mishabeach. It's to go to the sick person, somehow get in the door, see them in their stance, where they are. The Gemara relates that when a certain student contracted a contagious disease, I saw this and I thought of Rabbi Kalimer immediately, especially during the time of the pandemic. Everyone stayed away from him. Rabbi Akiva, his Rebbe, visited him, swept his room, nursed him back to health. So many stories of Rabbi Kalimer and the standing in the hospital, not even be able to get upstairs. They wouldn't let him in. Sometimes, somehow, he got in. Even if he was standing downstairs with a person, I'm here, I'm down here. I came to see you. By caring for those who are ill, we restore their faith and fill them with confidence and optimism. This, again, also was talking to ourselves. Rav Kook, in Oras Tshuva, speaks about, in the beginning, about the disease of the individual who is a chote, and how he has to repair himself, both physically and spiritually. And the first idea is to believe that one can change, that one can be better, but you have to also allow yourself to understand that people get sick, and sickness has to be cured. The third and most significant component is prayer for the sick. And the Rav writes, which must come from the depths of our heart. A simply mishaberach, a throwing out a mishaberach without feeling means nothing. has to be davening. To daven, you have to feel it. You have to be empathetic. You have to feel the tsar of the individual who's sick. And with that tsar, you speak to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The idea is to be a chesed, to be a bal chesed, and to worry about others. And that's how a person can be a Rebbe and to be a Baal Masora. To be an individual who understands he has to have, obviously has to have knowledge of Torah, has to be a Posek, but the Posek also has to be humble. Posek also has to be empathetic. And the Posek also has to tell the truth and to give the emes to give it over. That's also how one accepts the Masora. Has to be humble, has to be able to change, has to realize I don't have a perfect life, I don't have all of the answers. He has to be willing to accept the emes, and he has to be empathetic for himself. Has to realize that it's okay, that I was a chote. I'll end off with the idea of the Baal Shem Tov. He's a chote, it starts with the aleph. The last letter is an aleph, and the Baal Shem Tov says so beautifully, the chait of the aleph, that even when a person is a chote, the aleph represents the aluf, represents the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That the chote, even the Kodesh Baruch Hu, is still with you. That is the moral, that is the lesson, that is the musar that one gets from all of these weeks of the Geulas HaNefesh. We spoke about this a number of times over the last few weeks. I've had the love of the Kodesh Baruch Hu for Klal Yisrael, even though they're on the 49th level of Tumah. And Dafka took him out on the 49th level of Tumah. Not simply because at any one greater second they would have lost everything, but because I wanted to show Klal Yisrael then and to all future generations the ability to change, the ability to become great. And that is the true lesson and the moral and the musar of these parshiyos.